Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brad Hayes, let's talk a little bit about Anthony Weiner. I'm fascinated by this. Here's this guy. I'll be honest with you. My impression of him was not that great. I thought he was arrogant and vain, and, you know. Then along he comes. He was going to be the next mayor for sure. He was going to run for mayor. He was a congressman. Everybody liked him. And then he did something really self-defeating and stupid, which we have seen other people do. And he sends out some material on the internet, which, of course, goes viral. And everybody sees him without some of his clothes on and other places in his body. And then, you know, he's disqualified from all politics for this. Meantime, we read every story about JFK and the women that he had shuttled into the White House and all the rest of it. Some guys really get into trouble and some people get away with it. What do you make of that?
I think scandal is obviously not new to politics, right? My colleagues in the classics department are quick to remind me about scandals
you
involving
talk to them?
I do. They're lovely people. Yeah. I love them. And, you know, they'll remind me about Mark Anthony and Cleopatra, right? So, scandal isn't new, but you're right that politicians, you know, throughout history seem susceptible to certain forms of scandal. And we can think a little bit about the things that make for a good politician. Politicians are individuals that kind of bathe in the spotlight and almost need approval. Makes politicians good at their jobs, but it also makes them kind of susceptible to other kinds of human failings. But one of the other interesting aspects about this is that we often in the United States like stories of redemption. We like to build people up, tear them down, but we sometimes also like to build them back up.
But not if you're the New York Post and the Daily News.
No, that's
true. They kill them every day. They have four pages every day. I think it's disgusting, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say when I started talking about how I didn't like them in the beginning, I'm beginning to feel some sympathy for the guy.
Yeah, well, and that actually may matter here. I mean, one of the reasons why he may choose to run is not so much to win, although I'm not sure that he sees it this way, but you can run and lose for mayor in New York. What that has the effect, though, of doing is in some ways changing the narrative, right? So you air the laundry, right? You get that all out in this election so that it clears it for the next run, right? So that in the next election, you can say, okay, we've dealt
took care
with
of that.
Yeah, we've done that. We can move on. And maybe that's what is in some ways going on here. I mean, he might be very sincere in thinking about this run, but it may actually have kind of long-term effects. Even if it's not successful this go-around, you have this moment of saying, okay, yeah, I really messed up. Let's talk about it. Allow me to explain and to apologize. And then also begin to demonstrate that, you know, I have competency that would be desirable for the people of New York City, for a particular constituency. And then maybe they can support a run for him to some position in the future.
But you got 14 million people, 7 million people, I don't know what the numbers are, reading those stupid tabloids every day. And now we have government by tabloid, or put another way, government by, Rupert Murdoch and Mort Zuckerman. So you have these guys, they determine what, that people are going to be unforgiving. They make sure that people are going to be unforgiving. But I wanted to go a little further with this. It seems to me you got a president like Lyndon Johnson, who is alleged to have been a famous womanizer, and or JFK. We know the story there. And they're in office. Now, my friend Elliot Spitzer, who I have immense respect for, did it a little differently. I mean, this was a little bit over the top, at least, although he's looking for the same kind of redemption right now. And has looked for various places that he could go to get it. I'm all for it, but there will be those who not. But I hate the idea of government by tabloid.
Yeah, I mean, this is a problem, I think. I mean, there is something kind of salacious about the coverage of scandal. And for whatever reason, this one had particular salience. The question in some ways, is why do some scandals stick and others don't?
It is.
And, that may be about the enemies that people make. Anthony Weiner was an aggressive Democrat. And as you mentioned in kind of the lead-in, that it's perceived as arrogant, and some people really, I think, enjoyed tearing it down. Also, I mean, the very visual nature of the scandal helped. I mean, if you contrast that with Mark Sanford, right, who was the governor, former governor of South Carolina, who had stated that he was, I guess, hiking the Appalachian Trail, or his staff said that. And right, and he was in Argentina having an affair. You know, he's now running for Congress.
And he could win.
And he could win. And, you know, that scandal, while, you know, it captured headlines for a short period of time, it went away very quickly. I think much more quickly than this other scandal, even though there was a continued investigation by their state legislature and eventual punishment of him, a censure. But the it didn't capture the national headlines for as long. And so I think there are some people that are more in the crosshairs. There are certain scandals that are more visual, that allow it to be portrayed for a longer period of time in more mediums. And that matters for scandal.
On the other hand, Brett Hayes, Bill Clinton could have not been more explicit in people writing books about him, and he gets away with it to the point where he leaves office after having been impeached. Yes, he was impeached. He wasn't convicted. And he leaves office, perhaps the most highest-ranking president in history in terms of his numbers.
Yeah, I mean, and so much of it, I think, is a reflection on what people want to remember about you. I mean, you know, obviously, when we look back at the 90s, it was, you know, a booming economy. It seemed like very good times. We had just kind of gotten clear of the Cold War, and it was a great time. And so in that sense, you know, Clinton, his legacy reflects that, and people have chosen to overlook, you know, some of his personal failings. And, you know, in some ways, I think that's what, you know, politicians who are in scandal are attempting to do, is to try to get to the point where people can minimize the scandal part of their legacy and to really look at their legacy as something else, something more reflective of their efforts while they were in office.
Well, there are a lot of people who think forgiveness came to Andrew Cuomo, for example, you know, who admitted to dalliances while he was married into the Kennedy family. And yet he gets elected overwhelmingly. So some people ride the wave. I often wonder whether Eliot Spitzer shouldn't have toughed it out, as apparently his wife wanted him to, and stay in there and just did what he had to do. I think one of the concerns was, you know, whether some DA looking for a name was going to come after him. But sometimes just toughing it out is a big lesson.
It can be, you know, and it may, in fact, actually give you something else to a different way to change that narrative. And the thing that we were talking about, the difficulty for Anthony Weiner right now is that it's very difficult for him to change that narrative. The run might change that narrative. Staying in office and legislating might be able to do that if, in fact, you can avoid certainly legal issues. That's a big one. Yeah. But also that, you know, the perpetuity of scandal.
Last question. I noticed that you mentioned called him both Weiner and Weiner.
No.
And I wondered whether you did that on purpose.
I did not do it on purpose, but it happens.
Brett Hayes, I thought you were making a commentary. Brett Hayes, we love you. We're so glad you're with us. Brett Hayes is assistant professor of political science at Union College, and even more, he's professor in residence right here at WAMC.